Welcome to The Brains Behind It, the official podcast of BrainHackers.com. The source for smart strategies to improve your life, one brain hack at a time. In this podcast, we talk to the leaders and innovators behind great organizations and find out the secret to their success. Here's your host, editor-in-chief of BrainHackers.com and two-time Guinness record holder for memory, Dave Farrow.
Hey there, brain hackers. Today I'm talking to Mark Givens. He is the owner of Pelicanesis. He's an independent book publisher and an author in his own right. And we're going to talk about how an author navigates through the modern world of publishing and figures out what method of publishing is right for them. There is a lot of options and not all of them are one size fits all. It's very, very specific. So you're going to find out exactly what type of publishing is right for you. Hey, Mark, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
All right. So the topic today, so first off, you have lots of experience in independent book publishing, but you also have experience in other areas of the publishing world, and you're very well connected to publishers. So you're an expert of that in that area. Let's just go forward with that presumption. And what we want to talk about today is, you know, let's say somebody's a brand new author and they're looking at this world of publishing. And they could go in so many different directions. You've got independent publishing, self-publishing, hybrid publishing. That's just to name a few. You've got using a literary agent with publicists, doing your own publicity. There's all sorts of different models. How do we cut through the mess first off? How do we figure out even what is available?
Well, first, I think it's the most important to figure out kind of what you want as an author, what you are expecting. If you... And this is coming from your approach to your art and your expectation. What do you want out of the whole thing? If you want to write a bestseller, you need to back it up a little bit so that you can get a running start, and you can't just jump in and be a bestseller. So you have to build your book, build your brand, build your confidence also.
Yeah, you know, I hear actually from a lot of literary agents that if somebody wants to be a career writer, where there's this best-selling writer that's very well known, every time you write a book, you sell a bunch, you have to almost build the audience before you write the book. You have a following of some sort, whether you're a political commentator. There's a lot of people who are columnists who become authors because they've already got people who are reading their column on a regular basis. And of course, you could also say that for blogs and things like that in the modern era. And then of course you've got these people with big Instagram followings or something on social media, and then they write a book. So that's kind of what you're talking about, is back it up and get your brand out there first, then publish a book.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the thinking behind that, what you're saying there is that you have to build your network, build your following. And we talk about this all the time. We talk about this especially in the modern approach to distribution of anything. I also come from a music background, so independent music is the same thing. Well, it's so easy to connect to people. You just get on the internet and there they are. You just talk to your crowd. You talk to your fan base. But the part that we're forgetting there is that you have to build your fan base. So how do you do that?
So what if you already have some work? Like, doesn't it also go in the other direction where somebody can write a book and then use that book to build their base as well? And then maybe they build a following, and then their second book is big.
Right. That's true. And then hopefully then that spurs some interest in your first book also. So you can hopefully they build on each other and keep going.
Yeah, but something like the top writers, most people only discover them, you know, by their third book or something like that, right?
Right, right. So expecting to have a bestseller right out of the gate is you have to think about what the reality of your situation is. If you're a columnist and you build that fan base, you build, you know, your readership through that medium. And then we have an author, David Allen, is a columnist for the Inland Valley Daily Bulletin. And what we're doing is compiling a lot of his columns from the past and republishing them, repackaging them, so that it's more of a kind of like a Dave Barry kind of approach to a book. So they're fun, lighthearted. They're, you know, talking about city council meetings and you know, the
sounds local exciting. Community. Oh my, oh, it's that sounds like something fun. Not my kind of book, but that's okay. I don't.
He talks about a lot of other stuff too.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. Anybody already has a following, then you already have that advantage. But you can use your book to build a following. And you know what? Who knows? That first book might be a bestseller. It's just that you're going to publish your third book and maybe fourth book before you build up enough of an audience so that people buy your first book enough to make it a bestseller. You know, it might not be right away.
Right. And expecting a bestseller right out of the gate, again, you have to put the work in. You have to do the work. And that's not just the writing part. That's the part where you and I come in, is to, you've got the material. Now, what do you do with it?
Right.
So one choice is to find a literary agent, because they can shop it around for you. Again, your expectation, if that's the route you want to go, then you can get help doing that. If you know how it looks and you know how it's packaged and you just want to get it out there into the world, you can self-publish. And that's a completely viable option nowadays. Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. And you can also test the waters. You can see maybe it gets picked up. Maybe people like it. Maybe it doesn't sell at all, and that's okay. It's feedback so that you kind of know what direction you want to go in.
Well, yeah, and also I would add that if you have a background in sales or marketing, then the self-publishing route can be really for you. I started in self-publishing back in the 90s, you know, back before it was really well known. But I was starting with an audiobook, like a course it's originally actually cassettes and then CDs. I'm that old, but you know, I ended up selling $10 million worth of these programs over the years, and eventually got picked up by an infomercial, you know, before that. But it started with just, you know, developing material and then going out and selling it. But it never would have got off the ground if I didn't know how to sell, right? So you always also play to your strengths.
Right. And if you don't know how to sell, you find somebody like you who knows how to do that, and you consult with them and say, okay, now how do we go about doing this? So the writing part, that's the first step in your publishing career, right? Mm-hmm. You have the material written, and then you have to go and sell it. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, self-publishing may not be the right option. So you can do something called a hybrid publishing scheme, where you find somebody like me who can manufacture the book and market the book, and then you put in money. Hybrid usually means that the author chips in a great deal of cash, and then you help promote the book and do all that stuff. That's not what Pelokinesis does. We're not a hybrid publisher. We're not a self-publisher. We're independent, which is kind of like, it's independent in a true sense of the word. I'm not tied to anybody. I'm not tied to a big publisher. It's independent. It's kind of like the minor leagues in baseball, right? So, you know,
you have a lot of freedom, though. You have a lot of creative freedom, and sometimes you can, you know, to use a baseball analogy, you can knock it out of the park too.
Yeah, exactly. I can take risks, and I can, you know, move a lot easier than some of the big publishers, and I can put, you know, I can put a lot of attention and support behind a book that's a little bit risky, and that's a good thing for
okay. So why would we go with self-publishing, or actually why would we go for an independent publisher versus, say, a hybrid publisher? Do you bring things like, talk about things like distribution as well, that a publisher brings to the table?
So a publisher on this level, the independent level, we have distribution through, I have distribution through Small Press Distribution, which is one of the only distributors in North America that focuses exclusively on independent presses. Mm. So that's nice to have that distribution. We also have distribution through Ingram. So I can bring a lot of the distribution to the table. We also do things like a lot of marketing, a lot of publicity material. I help with booking gigs for the authors reading.
Do you get them like radio and TV, or is this more like you get them like a book signing tour or something like that, and then they have to get their own publicity?
We do readings, lots of readings. We do different kinds of events, independent author events, and a lot of library things, but a lot of also in independent press. There are a lot of independent presses. So the strength that I've found is in networking with other independent presses, right? And so you don't become one big press. You become lots of little independent presses, but you're all talking to each other. And so you all figure out, you know, what the challenges are in the publishing field at this level and how to accommodate some of the needs of the authors.
You know, that's actually great to know. And it's good for like the theme of this show, or it's the you know, behind the scenes type stuff. Before getting into this industry, I didn't realize how much publicists actually work with multiple, you know, my firm, we work with multiple publishers to help out, you know, different books. And a lot of times we work independently with the authors themselves and never talk to their publisher and everything in between. But there's a lot more collaboration than I ever thought. I originally thought, you know, these businesses are going to be cutthroat, but they're actually working together a tremendous amount.
And that's a perception that authors have, that the majority of the public has about publishers, because we're not viewed in the brightest light at the moment, because people, the general public, sees the publisher as a barrier to success, right? As the thing that you have to fight against. I had to fight against my publisher to get, you got to fight for what you want and get what you want.
Right. First off, what is the perfect author to self-publish? And we're going to go through all of them. Self-publishing, independent publishing, hybrid publishing, and everything. What's the perfect author for self-publishing? Somebody who already has a marketing background, maybe already has a platform, and they just want to sell it as a product?
Yeah, yes. And someone who's willing to put in the time and the energy to take advantage of all the opportunities that are out there. They already exist. You got to be able to plug into them and market yourself. That's the big thing, is that you have the book, you've designed the cover, you've done the editing.
Yeah.
So you have to take a lot of responsibility for all of it. And if you like that, then go for it.
All right, what is the perfect author for the small independent press?
So for the small independent press, I think the perfect person is one who is willing to be a little bit risky, take a little bit more of a chance on the material that they're writing. They may not, so a little bit more experimental, willing to give up a little bit of the control and also benefit from the input of an editor and the marketing materials that the publisher can create, and to take advantage of the smaller format of independent press, which there is a benefit to it. You don't have to be overburdened with, you know, excessive book touring.
Right.
You can also take advantage of some of that, right? But you can say no. You don't have to do it, you know.
Well, and that's really important for a lot of people. What is the perfect author situation for a hybrid press situation?
I have a very tenuous relationship with hybrid publishers, because I think they're kind of hedging their bets. That's my take on the hybrid publisher, because I feel like if the publisher wants to commit to the work, then commit to the work. Just do it, right? Don't ask the author for a lot of money, because the author is going to be putting in time and effort.
Right.
At the same time, I think that if you, as an author, if you have the money and you are willing to contribute your part financially, it's mainly a financial issue at that point. If you're willing to go for that outlay of cash, I suppose you can make it work for you. It just seems to me like you're kind of, the publisher's kind of hedging their bet, but
yeah, that makes sense.
It's just, it's a personal preference thing. Some people prefer it because then they retain a little bit more control over their material.
Right. A little more ownership.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the perfect author that needs a literary agent, and what kind of author doesn't ever need a literary agent?
So the literary agent is mainly effective on genre material. So if you have written a zombie vampire love story.
How did you know I wrote a zombie vampire love story?
I said if.
Oh,
if
okay.
You have.
Wow, that's crazy. So, I'm kidding.
Dave, when you take your new book that is a zombie vampire love story, and you want to sell it to people who buy that kind of material, there is a market for that kind of stuff. So a literary agent can plug you into the right channels to get that material seen.
It's called Till Death Do Us Together. That's a terrible title. I got to think about that. What about a person who doesn't need a literary agent at all? And it would be kind of a waste or not recommended.
It's for an author whose expectations are, they fit in with their lifestyle so that they know what they want to do. For example, we have several authors who are full-time professors and they're not going out on book tours. That's not what they want to do. So their expectation is, I want to make a couple of local appearances. I want to do a couple of events. Mainly, I just want to have this book out there. And I say, as an independent press, I say, you don't need a literary agent. You've already got your audience. You know, your audience is very local, and it's also kind of a little more academic in some cases. Sometimes it's not academic. Sometimes it's totally crazy sci-fi stuff. But you have your expectations. You don't need an agent. If you want your sci-fi sex zombie thriller to hit the right people, and you say, you know, this could be a bestseller. This could be the one. Shop it around. Why not? You know, I mean, it's not going to hurt anything. It's just that you have to, you know, if you know that you're just looking at your expectations in a realistic way.
That's fantastic. All right. So any final tips for authors who are looking at this whole publishing scene and are confused? What's a good tip for them to, take that first step?
The first step, I think, is to talk to other people who are doing it now. So people like you, there are groups on social media. There are groups everywhere about authors who are looking to do certain things. You find like-minded individuals, you talk to them, find out what their take is. And you can do some shopping just online, just looking at publishers, you know.
Well, yeah, you have to kind of keep your ear to the ground because the industry is changing all the time. So what worked a few years ago might not be even the best plan right now. So you got to keep nimble.
The main thing is to write a lot and just keep writing. And because that's the part that you fell in love with when you decided to become a writer and write your zombie vampire quick takes, bites, whatever.
Dave, they get married in Vegas. They elope. Her father's not happy with it at all, but you know.
Of course not. Of course not. He's threatened them with everlasting life.
There you go. All right. Well, I can't really improve on that. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much, Dave.
Thank you for listening to The Brains Behind It. And remember to check out brainhackers.com for more. If you have a suggestion for the next interview or comment, please email editor@brainhackers.com. If you want a free 30-minute marketing consultation from Dave Farrow and his team, then email editor@brainhackers.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.